of Japan's four main islands on Sunday morning and is set to reach Honshu, the largest island, in the coming days. Tens of thousands of people spent Sunday night in emergency shelters, and almost 350,000 homes were without power. Transport and businesses have been disrupted, and the country is braced for extensive flooding and landslides. Nam et al. Has brought Gus.
You look so defeated, lying there in your new twin-size bed.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is a exceptionally warm and mostly clear, partly cloudy day here in Austin, Texas. It's 1905 UTC, and we're on the roof, making my way to the shady spot. The summer is coming upon us, because my shady spot used to cover the parking spot adjacent to the stairwell that leads up to the roof, but the shade now only extends to the close line of the parking lot. So essentially what I'm saying is I might have to find a new spot in the summer if I keep doing the show from the roof. Anyhow, it's 1906. It is 35 degrees C here, and it's going to be 36 in a little bit. And it's just going to get warmer from here. They're saying we're going to be 40, 41 by the end of the weekend if we're unlucky, which is to say a bit much is all I want to say. Anyway, if you want to chat during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to tty.sdf.org or SSH over just a plain old naked SDF.org. Either way, that'll connect you up into the cluster and you'll be connected to SDF. And from there, you can launch COM. That's Commode Chat. All you do is type C-O-M, press enter. And then from there, you can press G for go to and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. Or if you've set up your COM RC, you can just jump immediately into COM. Then you'll be hanging out with cool people like Ratsu and Claudio M and UserFXNet, LCD and CSH, C-Shell, everybody, the whole crew. So hello, hello, welcome, welcome. Glad to see everyone in COM. And if you are a Jabber XMPP user, hello to you as well. A refrigerated truck is driving by, but the refrigeration unit, since I'm on the up roof, I can see the refrigeration unit doesn't have the top on it, so it was extra loud. So sorry about that. Let me see what my Jabber client is on the iOS device. I think I have one. I believe it's called Siphon. I agree. Oh no, that's not it. Fluffy Chat, WeChat, Element. Oh, I must have deleted my XMPP client. Either way, just know that we're out here. Everybody's out here. Yep, LCD pointing out Texas is hot. We're expecting to get over 100 Fahrenheit. I try and use Celsius because Anon Radio is a global joint, and I work with a lot of people who are not from the U.S. And so whenever it's like, it's, I would rather be the one having to do the conversions than the everyone else. So that's what I've been doing. All right. LCD is funny. All right. So we're here for news, and I've got some news for you. I want to point out that usually we do world news and then we do tech news and all that stuff. I went around. It's Friday, and I did not find a whole ton of death and destruction. To be honest, I wasn't really feeling the energy to go look for death and destruction. But we do have a full slate of news. So we'll go ahead and start off here with some drugs, talking about drugs. Afghanistan's Taliban has begun campaigning to eradicate poppy cultivation, aiming to wipe out the country's massive production of opium and heroin, even as farmers fear their livelihoods will be ruined. On a recent day in Washir District in southern Helmand Province, armed Taliban fighters stood guard as a tractor trailer tore up a field of poppies. The field's owner stood nearby watching. The Taliban, who took power in Afghanistan more than 9 months ago, issued an edict in early April banning poppy cultivation. Those violating the ban will be arrested and tried according to Sharia laws in relevant courts. The Taliban Deputy Interior Minister for Counter-Narcotics, Mullah Abdul Haq Akhund, told the Associated Press in Helmand's provincial capital. Afghanistan is the world's biggest opium producer and a major source for heroin in Europe and Asia. Production spiraled over the past 20 years despite billions of dollars spent by the U.S. trying to stop poppy cultivation. It's important to note, and something that won't be here on the National Public Radio of the United States' website, but poppies tend to show up, and drug production tends to spike anywhere the United States is occupying or is currently running. So I don't want anybody to get the impression that it's just inherently a vice that the people of the country are involved in. The U.S. often helps promote these kind of activities. And then that way, whenever we lose power or leave, we can then blame it on the drugs. A lot of, amongst other things. The ban is likely a severe blow to millions of impoverished farmers. That was a Honda Civic, an old, like, early 2000s Honda Civic, with a giant spoiler and a bad exhaust driving by. Sorry, the cars driving by, when they have bad upgrades, annoy me more than cars that are just bad because they're old. Let's check in on Calm. Don't let death and destruction search for you. Yes, hopefully. There's an end to poppies there. Thomas Jefferson famously grew a lot of poppies for opium production on his estate while he was president and alive in the United States. We didn't ban opium for a while, but oh man, he was his estate got raided by the DEA in the late 70s, early 80s, because they had a whole bunch of, they were just growing all this dope over there. They didn't realize it would be a problem. But they're not the only places with drugs. Surprisingly, a study, not really surprisingly, but this is false shock, a study looking at water pollution on the south coast of England has revealed high levels of harmful chemicals, including recreational drugs and antidepressants. Scientists involved in the research say marine life is being harmed by human drugs, pointing to evidence that estrogen in water can feminize male fish through biological changes. Bianca Carr, the co-founder of the Clean Harbor Partnership that coordinated the work, said, we need to go beyond talking about poo in the water. Now we're looking at what's in the human waste. Now we know the chemicals that are in it. The next step would be to look across the UK at what cocaine and other human drugs are doing to our water. And that's the height of just excess, I think. We know our country has a drug problem, but it'll be okay. The people can get help. No. Our country, the actual land and water has a drug problem. We have so many drugs in our system that it's polluting the water. It's just wild. In more than 288 samples, researchers have so far detected more than 50 compounds across 22 sites. These include pharmaceuticals and diabetes medicines, as well as chemical products from the liver after cocaine use. The team also discovered pesticides, including some that are banned in the UK. Professor Alex Ward of the University of Portsmouth School of Biological Sciences said, "We know there are billions of liters of sewage discharges annually around the UK, but the impact is not clearly understood. This project is enabling us to determine what chemical contaminants are in our marine life and coastal waters." So, man, Ratsu makes a joke, turning the frog's day gay, feminized male fish. UserFXNet is in California. One of the great DJ Butt Stuff, is in California. I haven't heard his show in a while. Apparently, who would have thought dumping all of these excess hormones into the water is messing with the biology of the animals, turning the frogs gay, feminizing fish. Hey, F-Fog's in Houston, H-Town. Oh man, I think y'all are gonna get hardened back. That's my current thing, I think. Anyway, shout out to Houston. My brothers live there. Okay, let's keep on moving. Because there's more than just drugs in the news, I'll have you know. So this is probably the most newsy story for the day. A bill introduced to make caste discrimination illegal in California is set to come up for discussion in the state assembly this week. Savita Patel, a California-based independent journalist, speaks to those supporting and opposing the bill. A nurse at a hospital in California works long and tiring hours serving patients. But whenever it's break time, things become oppressive. The nurse is a member of a Dalit, the Dalits, the lower caste, and says she often faces casteist insults from her South Asian colleagues. Dalit rights activists say scores of caste-oppressed Californians face housing, educational, professional, and social discrimination. In March, Senator Aisha Wahab, a lawmaker from the Democratic Party, authored and introduced SB 403 legislation that seeks to add caste as a protected category, alongside race, religion, and disability. The bill was passed by the state Senate in May with a 34-1 vote. If it goes through in the state assembly, California will be the first U.S. state to ban caste discrimination. Nurses from upper caste pass slurs about chamars, okay, that's a pejorative term for Dalits, being dirty and polluting. In February, Seattle became the first city in the U.S. and outside South Asia to outlaw caste discrimination, generating momentum for California. It's being propelled by the same broad, multi-faith, intercaste, multiracial coalition of over 40 American and international Dalit and human rights activist organizations. The state is home to more than half of the 500,000-plus Sikh population in the U.S., and Gurudwaras, or Sikh temples in California, have been mobilizing momentum to outlaw caste discrimination. The Sikh religion and faith is very interesting. If you ever want to read about religion, that's a fun one to read about. Two of the community's largest advocacy groups support the bill. Among six, it's the Ravidasya community, the largest Dalit community in the state, which approximately is 15 to 20,000 members, which is advocating for the bill at a grassroots level. I'm trying to see somebody in opposition to the bill. Here it is. The bill is meeting strong opposition from many Indian American individuals, religious and professional groups, who argue that even though it does not specifically name their religion, it will discriminate against Hindus, their places of worship, and even make them less hiring worthy. They say the existing laws in California are sufficient to address any discrimination and are mobilizing the community to urge lawmakers to disallow. Many businesses and Hindu temples under Hindu PAC have appealed to California. I'm trying to get to the point here. This bill is already creating an undesirable awareness about caste. She says she's been hearing inappropriate queries from workers, especially in tech, who are being asked about their caste by non-South Asians. She says if this becomes a pattern, it could be grounds for ethnicity-based harassment. The foundation has sued the state in a federal court for an unconstitutional definition of caste and has also challenged the addition of caste to its non-discrimination policy, saying that it singles out one community for ethnic profiling and additional policing. So we'll have to see what happens. I do believe that I would say that having worked with different people from these communities, there's definitely a preference and a bias with that. And so it smells like it should be something that is protected. We'll see. Let's see what's going on in Calm. Lots of yellow text, which means there's stuff happening. Here, let's get to the bottom of it. All right. What a segue. butt stuff is a great one. F-Fog, my wife from Southside, South Park, if that means anything. And has been round, as she calls it. you missed VoIP, mostly because VoIP wasn't working. Okay, Handy C is in the house. Welcome, welcome. South Park shorties. Oh, man. Sorry. There are some beautiful women in the 3rd and 5th wards of Houston, Texas. And all you got to do is just walk around, man. See them all over the place, baby. It is beautiful. Anyway, let's keep on a moving. We're going to keep on a rolling. We're done with the cast news. It is 1920 UTC, which means that we've got about 10 minutes to go before The Dubious Goals Can Be With Tobe, a show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. So you want to stick around for that. Lots of synthesizers happening right now while the sun's real hot. Sometimes we're out looking for dudes, but that's more of a fall and springtime activity, just because of the oppressive heat of the deep heart of the United States where Tobe is. All right. Just as a side note, the British tabloid The Sun doesn't know what Singapore's flag looks like. It accidentally, in a posting about F1 races, said that Singapore as a place where the F1 race was happening, but then they put China's flag next to it instead of Singapore's flag. China's flag is a red flag with a yellow star in the top left corner there. Singapore's flag is white and red. So it's an easy way to tell the difference. But anyway, it's a... Hold on, let me see if I can give you a better... It's got a... Like, the shortcut one has a little circle in it, but I want to pull it up real quick to be sure I don't say it wrong, describe it incorrectly. The Singapore flag is white on the bottom, red on top, and it has a moon with 5 stars to its right. So it has a crescent moon with 5 stars to its right. So that's what their flag looks like. And hopefully that helps everyone who hasn't seen that flag before and helps you to know that those flags are quite significantly different. Tech time. Let's get into some tech news. First, Twitch has scrapped ad changes after streamers abandoned the platform. Twitch is scrapping its own new advertising rules following a backlash that saw streamers leave the platform. The Amazon-owned live streaming service had said it would restrict the size and type of ads used by streamers. This would have substantially reduced the ways in which streamers generate income. Twitch has abandoned this policy after several creators threatened to boycott the platform and some moved away. But not all of the new rules have been reversed, some streamers say, despite Twitch's statement. In a tweet viewed 13.4 million times, it called the new rules bad for you and bad for Twitch. Sponsors are critical to streamers' growth and ability to earn income. Will not prevent your ability to enter into direct relationship with sponsors. You'll continue to own and control your sponsorship business. That's what they said, anyway. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But UK streamer Marco, known online as Stallion, told BBC News he'll still be leaving Twitch. This is the push that I needed to get me off this platform, he said. This has been something that's been in my mind for the last 2 years. Problem with Twitch is it has next to no discoverability. It's one of those platforms where if you're not already at the top, you're not going to be. So, yeah. So, we'll see what happens. Streamers typically embed ads, so they're visible all the time. And new rules would have meant streamers weren't allowed to embed ads, whether video, audio, or otherwise, as well as limiting the size of any logos to just 3% of the screen size. So, you could imagine that causing some trouble for their revenue. If you work for any big corporation, you know all about how they like to track you and keep up with, you know, how much work you're doing in a day and what you're typing on and stuff. Well, according to this article from our friends at the BBC, companies in the future may use brain monitoring technology to watch or hire workers, but there is a real danger of discrimination if neurotech is not developed and used properly. Tech Futures Neurotechnology is the first ICO report on neurodata, data from the brain and nervous system. Workplace monitoring is one of a number of hypothetical future uses explored in the report. It comes as companies such as Neuralink from Elon Musk explore new ways to let computers connect to human brains. Hey, here comes Harley Guy. Based on all the indicators that we're looking at, we're seeing quite rapid growth, both in investments and in patients being developed in this area. Neurotech is always used in the healthcare, already used in the healthcare sector, where there are strict regulations. Electronic implants in the brain of Gert John Oskam, paralyzed in a cycling accident 12 years ago, enabled him to walk again. And commercial interest in the technology is growing. Neuralink has won permission for human trials of its implantable brain-computer interface and is reportedly now worth $5 billion, though a long way from a commercial product. So yeah, you may be able to get a job, you may be in a world where one day you show up and they're like, just like in the TV show Severance, I don't know if you watched that, it was on Apple TV, but in Severance, the employees, once they get to a certain level, are given an implant and it splits their mind, segments off a chunk of their memory. So you wake up in a room and you are at work. And essentially what happens is whenever you go down the elevator into the office, it activates. And so as far as your work self's concerned, you go into work, and then when you leave, it's like you just go into the elevator and then walk right back out of the elevator. It was frightening as a corporate worker. Anyway, the technology itself could be biased, giving incorrect answers when analyzing certain groups. There's also the risk bosses could use it to discriminate against certain types of neurodivergent characteristics. And it could reveal conditions of which the subject doesn't know they have. So yeah, it's kind of a big question as far as what's going to happen there. LCD is saying neurotech is too far. User FNXNet has, stay the fuck away from my brain, you pig megacorps. Cyberpunk war. Shoots laser rays. Cyberpunk war. Yeah. So it's pretty wild. And you can imagine all the zaniness that would happen. But yeah. Who knows? One day maybe we'll just all show up and working from home will mean that we get into our matrix-like pod and all these sensors connect to us and we just work in this virtual office somewhere. who knows? All right. Well, let me give you just a little bit more news. We've got about 4 minutes to go, so I want to tell you about this. Lawyers are in trouble again. Two lawyers recently submitted briefs using ChatGPT. I talked about this a week or two ago. There was a lawyer in Nevada who filed a brief, just typed in the facts of his case into ChatGPT and copy and pasted straight out. And if you're not aware, ChatGPT and all the large language models, unless you're writing some code, it is not to be trusted. Treat it like a TV show or a game you're playing. It's like if you walked up to a kid and asked it, hey, tell me how you were born, and then took that and submitted it to science or something. That's what people are doing. And lawyers, not very smart, two apologetic lawyers responding to an angry judge in Manhattan federal court blamed ChatGPT Thursday for tricking them and including fictitious legal research in a court filing. Attorney Stephen Schwartz and Peter LaDuca are facing possible punishment over filing in a lawsuit against an airline that included a reference to past court cases that Schwartz thought were real but were actually invented by the AI chatbot. Schwartz explained that he used the groundbreaking program as he hunted for legal precedent supporting a client's case against the Colombian airline Avianca for an injury incurred on a 2019 flight. Several of the cases were not real or don't exist at all, or they involved airlines that didn't exist. He was operating under a misconception that the website was obtaining these cases from some source I did not have access to.
I did not comprehend that ChatGPT could fabricate cases. So yeah, that's important. Please, 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 treat ChatGPT like a silly thing. So yeah, it's just, come on. Let's talk about nuclear real quick. Nuclear Transport Solutions, a part of the UK's Nuclear Decommissioning Authority, has partnered with renewable marine technology specialist Smart Green Shipping to investigate retrofitting of new sail technology on its specialist nuclear transport ships. That's right. These ships, which are owned and maintained by Nuclear Transport Nuclear Transport Solutions, they operate three diesel-powered specialist ships for the transport of high-level waste and other nuclear material. So they're using, we're going to run out of time, but I just want you to appreciate that. They're looking, they have these ships that carry nuclear fuel, and they're powered by oil-burning engines, and they want to reduce their footprint, so they're trying to add sails to it, rather than just use a nuclear reactor. Anyway, it's absurd. It's like, how are we going to haul all this gasoline across the ocean? I don't know. We're going to have to figure something out. Anyway, please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and I'll be back on Monday with more news.